All right, I'm going to take a few of your calls right now for folks that held, Mary and Greg. Appreciate you doing that. And then I'm going to cover a little bit of final news before I hand the baton to the always informative, insightful Jay Dyer. Into hardcore documents and the globalist on words, he's your man. Now, let's go to your calls. Mary in Minnesota, then Greg in Virginia. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Alex. Thank you, first of all, for being a truther and a patriot and really my hero.
Well, thank you.
And my first time calling, and I wanted to point out, like in the first hour long ago of your show today, you had pointed out the deceptiveness of CNN stating on screen that they were lied.
Yes.
And I appreciate you pointing that out because I noticed that too. And then I also had another observation I'd like to make from the interview. Was I noticed that Kamala, whatever you however you pronounce it, her eyes, her eye movement, she kept looking down at the table that they were sitting at, like she was reading.
Yeah, she was obviously. I meant to make that, yeah, she was super low so she could have an iPad.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. Well, I was thinking that maybe the table was green screen and they CGI'd it after, like in post production. But yeah, that makes more sense that it was like an iPad on her lap.
Yeah, well, she was seen going into the building. She was there 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we're talking about, how do you find a moron this stupid? I could randomly go to, I could randomly just pull into a restaurant and just grab anybody out of the back and they'd be smarter than her.
Yes, exactly. So I wish her luck when she debates Trump on September 10th.
That's going to be very entertaining.
And yes, especially if she's not allowed to have any notes, no iPad, no nothing. And the other thing I wanted to say was, as a kind of a comedic thing, if you have any creative meme makers out there in the audience, I thought it would be funny, like when I was watching the interview last night, I envisioned Tim Walz, who's my governor, who's not my governor. I don't like him at all. I don't respect him. But it'd be funny to picture him as the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz, and then Kamala as the scarecrow, if I only had a brain.
That's a great idea. We will make that meme. Mary, great to have you as a first-time caller. God bless you. Greg in Virginia, last caller of the day. Go ahead, Greg. You're our tail gunner.
Yeah, man. I love this, Alex. Thank you so much. God bless you, brother. I'm a first-time caller, 25-year listener.
Wow.
Okay? Yes, sir. And I have bottled it up, so I'm going to try to roll through real quick. Shout out first, brother. X2, couldn't made it without it. Nitro Boost, couldn't made it without it. Bodies, I've had some medical issues. I was a deputy sheriff, got injured. The pharmaceuticals wasn't doing it. And I just got to say a great shout out to the vitamins and minerals.
Thank you.
Can't say enough, okay? I want to move on, and I'm going to take a different perspective and approach. They've already showed us who they are and what they're up to, okay? God has showed us, and he's sitting back probably like shaking his head at us right now. The bullet that hit Trump, if that's not a miracle, we all said it's a miracle. Even non-believers have said it's a miracle. If we recognize and show and treat this thing like, I want to say one thing. I wake up every morning, and I'm driven. I'll tell you what I'm driven by. Freedom is not free, my people. I'll tell you, freedom's not free. I wake up and see a folded flag. My grandfather fought in World War II, and he sat and told me the stories that he would not tell nobody. Freedom is not free, and I stare at this flag every morning. That's my motivation. We got to approach this thing different. They've got a new reset plan, and lo and behold, brother, y'all have been set up, excuse me, for 25, 30 years. God has prepared all of us for this moment. You, Alex, are the warrior leader. He has gave us and blessed us with so many arrows for our quiver if we just sit back and look and take a different approach. Let's don't play by their game. Let's don't get sucked into that.
God bless you, brother. Great points. Thank you. And God bless your grandfather. We'll be right back.
At InfoWarsMD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
From the front lines.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Mother,
tell your children not to walk my way.
Tell your children not to hear my words.
What they mean, what they say. Mother,
mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you have a proper wedding world?
Oh, oh, mother, father,
oh, gonna take your daughter out tonight.
Gonna show her. Not about to see the light of Lucifer. I've already seen the light of God. Just like old Hank Williams said, I saw the light. I saw the light. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we broadcast worldwide. I wanted to finish a few statements I was going to make and then hand the baton to the great Jay Dyer, best-selling author, researcher, and expert on the New World Order. All right, and then the awesome Owen Schroyer takes over in T-minus 53 minutes. You've heard the callers, you heard the last caller. Look at that flag of his grandfather on the wall. The only way we cannot go down the path that Martin Armstrong was saying last hour, that is where we're headed, that's where the bus is going over the cliff, is to admit we've got a real satanic, globalist, communist takeover happening. And realize that people are either evil that are running it, which they are, and the minions are brainwashed, and that we have to absolutely have no truck with them and give them no aid or comfort. We don't hate them, but these are dangerous equivalent of zombies, spiritual zombies. And we have to recognize that, and we have to raise the alarm as Paul Revere's, and we have to personally get ready for what's going on and what's happening. Now, when I end this live show, I'm handing the baton. I told the caller, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go in my office, try to find something to eat. I haven't eaten yet today. And I'm going to write up solutions of what we can do. Because that really is the big question. And he asked the question, and I wasn't just giving him a half-ass answer. But the biggest thing is get right with God, get informed, and stop submitting and stop bowing to tyranny. Like, well, I had to take the shot. I'm a doctor. I had to take the shot. I'm a cop. Well, a bunch of military said no, and now they're filing lawsuits. They had to back off. Gonna have a heart attack because you got to have that job. You've got to, at a point, say no and realize that they keep pushing us, and we're at the edge of a cliff. And you got to realize that the organizations and groups that are exposing the New World Order are under attack. And InfoWars is right at the center of that. So I ask everybody again, because I don't want to spend all my time doing this. You saw them lie in the rigged trials where I was already found guilty, run by the government, the CIA, and the FBI, produced by HBO with scripts. That's why we weren't even really allowed to talk. Say that I had hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was all, and I was going to go to jail in the Justice Department, and I had hidden money. None of it was true. Now the New York Times said a month ago, Alex Jones had meager assets. I never cared about money. I spent the money on the operation. It was all lies when they said I had all this money. I would just make stuff up. They just came out in a big Atlantic Monthly article about Candace Owens and said that she was born mentally retarded and is brain damaged and listed a mother that wasn't even her mother, a fake name. You thought they'd stop lying when they got caught. They're doubling down. CNN said the Kamala Harris interview was live. But they create these whole constructed stories now where you think, well, it's so complex, it's got to be true. I use 1,000 examples, but Daily Mail, New York Times, Jones walked in and screamed at the crew for not working hard. He walked over to the fish tank, the crew's beloved fish. It was owned, was going to be given to the niece. That's from Finding Nemo. And mixed with the movie Wolf of Wall Street. And Jones reached into the fish tank, pull up fish, eating fish, killing goldfish, eating goldfish, Wolf of Wall Street clip. And he reached in and ate the fish. There's never been a fish here. There's never been a fish tank. I've got a saltwater tank. I've had 12 years. I love those damn fish. So, again, you read this and it's like, well, it's got to be true. The New York Times says he killed the fish. It's crap. It's lies. So when I tell you I need funds, when I tell you I need your support, I need it. We have a very good chance of staying on air. But I need you to go to drjonesnaturals.com, get all the nano silver products, the Kaba Chill, the Top Brain, the Rocket Rest Sleep Aid that's incredible, the nano silver toothpaste, fluoride-free, concentrated, amazing, drjonesnaturals.com. There's a bunch of specials going on there right now. It's all there, amazing products, drjonesnaturals.com, and that's my dad's company, and he's sponsoring us, and it's critical because it's separate from InfoWars. Whatever happens to us, that's a key sponsor. Those are key products. Just make the decision to support the InfoWars, support your own future with people that won't back down, that can't be bought off, but could give out. Like a horse, it'll keep running. It'll go till it has a heart attack if you don't take care of it. So thanks for your support, humbly. drjonesnaturals.com and InfoWarsStore.com. The books, the films, the water filtration, the t-shirts, the highest quality herbal food at the lowest price you're going to find, and the nitric boost and the high quality CBD full spectrum gummies and 1,000 milligram tincture that lowers your inflammation. It's so good for your whole body and mental focus. Get the InfoWars MD CBD, InfoWarsStore.com. All the great turmeric, all of it. You hear the rave reviews from the callers. I want to thank them when they thank me. Stop it. I want to thank you for keeping me in the fight because that's what I want to do. 8 weeks ago, they sent in feds without court orders. The U.S. trustee from the Justice Department and the CRO, and said they were closing the building. And I said, no, you're not. I'm calling the police. You don't have a warrant. You don't have a document. And 2 weeks later, the judge fired them all. But they tried to buffalo us. It's all vigilantism. And we're still here. And now InfoWars is up for sale on the 24th of next month. They are 25 days from now. It goes up for sale, not Free Speech Systems. That's my debt, me, or their fake trial. But the company, the crew, the infrastructure, the websites, all of it could be gone in mere months. Who knows who's going to try to buy it? There's Patriots coming in. But this is do or die time. DrJonesNaturals.com, InfoWarsStore.com. I shoot you straight. That's what I want to do. I want to get it right. I want to tell the truth. I rack my brain. I don't just give you some solutions to try to get you off the phone because it's such a big question. I'm going to go do a whole report on it because the currency I deal in is truth, and I want to get the best truth. I'm a mortal. I'm a sinner. I'm just a creature God made just like you, but I see through a rose-colored darkly. I see distortion through myself, but at the end, I see the truth through the haze. And that's what I want to try to give you the best I can with our guests and our analysis and our crew. Who do we have on? The people that are right. Who do we have on? The people who do the research. Like Jay Dyer, taking over right now.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be taking over. You know, control of the arts is absolutely central to the way the power structure controls us. And before most of us experienced a heavy degree of censorship, they already had locked down certain areas of entertainment, certain areas of especially comedy. Comedy was so crucial for the establishment to go after, to shut down, because, of course, free speech and freely mocking things is a very powerful weapon. And you can't have that in a top-down, you know, totalitarian control system. And one of the first entities out there to really experience this on a pretty, I would say, heavy-handed level is the famous sketch troupe of Million Dollar Extreme, three of whom you probably have heard of, Sam, Nick, and Charles. Now, we've had Sam on here a couple of years ago. It was a really popular interview, one of the first really popular fourth-hour interviews that I did, got a lot of views. So I thought it would be appropriate to bring on another person who's part of that troupe, Nick Rochefort, who's also now blowing up. In fact, he's blowing up like a jihadi in September. I click on one YouTube video of Nick, and basically all I see for the next 6 months is Nick Videos. Nick recently did a tour. I got to see them live. They hosted me on their podcast, Perfect Guy Life. But Nick also does a bunch of other topics and shows on his own. He does stand up. He does Scuffed Realtor. So we're going to talk to Nick if we can. I want to start out with asking him some questions about his experience back when they first blew up as Million Dollar Extreme. Tell me how you guys came together. What sparked this? And then we'll kind of get into the phase of the success of the show, and then you guys getting pretty much locked down. How'd you guys meet?
We met through my cousin, Brian Rochefort, who was a fellow student with Sam at RISD. And he was like, you got to meet this guy. I was doing poor stand-up comedy. I was doing like 20-year-old stand-up comedy in, 2004 before I did anything. And I was running like a landscaping company. And then I needed Sam to do a website for my landscaping company. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing stand-up comedy. This sucks. I'm doing this now. I wish I was writing for SNL, to be honest with you. And
did you hire illegals? Did you hire a lot of illegals for your landscaping?
Only 7,000.
Yeah. Only 7,000.
Yeah. Illegals. Okay. Yeah, I'm in El Salvador.
Nice. So actually, you actually helped with a lot of the importation of the immigration the last several years. So we want to thank you for that. All right, so you guys met, you didn't like stand up. What birthed the idea? You guys were doing a YouTube channel first, right?
Yeah, we had a YouTube channel pretty much right away. It was just I was at work and he was at work, and we would call each other, pitch sketches, and then we finally met up, shot like 5 or 6 sketches in his apartment when we were, just weird kids. And then when life went crazy, we were like, let's do this full time. And then I just quit. I quit my life, and so did he. And then we just went full bore on it and just started being a weirdo, making things in my soon to be foreclosed house with a green screen now installed in a full studio.
Did your channel grow pretty quick, or did it take a good while before you really caught on, a couple of years, or when did you really start noticing traction on the channel?
It was like watching, it was growing pretty quickly. Like we were getting like a little heat. It wasn't, they didn't stay stagnant for long. Like things would hit like 1,000 views, and then we would put out more, and some videos did, better than others. Some stuff that Sam did. Once we started to get the production value up, we started to get some eyes, and then we had a couple of people reach out, or we were reaching out to people, and then a couple of people kicked back and they were like, yeah, I'll do videos with you. So like Will Sasso did videos with us right away when we were nobodies. And that was big when we had, 5 or 6,000 subscribers, and then so on. It started to grow towards, hundreds of thousands and whatnot.
Did you guys include Charles later, or was he there from the very beginning?
No, Chuck came in about maybe a year later. At the same time as Sam and I were working, Charles and I went to kindergarten together. And he was doing a troupe called Black Country and Joy. And I was like, I wonder what Charles is up to, because Charles and Sam had very similar they just knew about the same things. They were like, big video game guys, big computer server software things. I was like, you have to meet my friend Charles that I kind of grew up with. You're going to love this guy. So when I looked into what he was doing, he was actually making videos as well. And they were like as absurd and insane. So it was, kismet. It was perfect when I was like, dude, come with us. And then Charles, his first video that he ever did with us was with Will Sasso. So it was like get in a car, drive to LA with us, and we'll show you what we're working with here.
So you did that for a while. You had the what was the first thing that really blew up big? Was it the TEDx trolling that you guys did, or was it something else that first blew up big?
That was pretty national news, big, funny as hell. We had some videos, like we had these street interviews that we did in New York that kind of got us some attention from networks. Those were earlier than that.
Hipsters. You guys were interviewing hipsters.
Yeah, hipsters in New York. Just pretending we were working for like Nylon and H&M and stuff like that.
Now, so then you guys got the big deal with Adult Swim. You got this 15-minute show, which is a full series, right? That was really popular. You guys were getting a lot of attraction, a lot of attention. And then, so describe the feeling that you had, and then like what happened exactly for the cancellation, because we know that, like I was saying, like the system has to crack down on especially comedians and artists that are able to speak freely, because you can, if you can lampoon the regime, I think it really shows, you know, the emperor's wearing no clothes. So like what was that experience like initially when you got this deal, and then what was the process of the cancellation?
So when we got the deal, they gave us a pilot and they gave us money. And I remember it was a big day. It was huge. I worked on it for a long time. I remember like calling my father and feeling like, yo, this is a real thing here. It was crazy. So they, you know, we got like an approval to do a pilot. When we met the president of the network, and we met Mike Lazo and Keith Crawford, you know, we were going back and forth with them for quite a bit. So it was a lot of work to, you know what I mean? It was long months and months of kind of, you know, doing whatever they wanted for a while, you know, a year or so, making shorts and proof of concept things to show that we can spend money and not rip people off and whatnot. And then they finally give us a pilot and a season. You know, they're calling us like our tours and using all these fancy words, you know, to, you know, artists and, you know, a voice of a generation, things like that, blah, 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 blah. Went through the season. I mean, you could start to see the writing on the wall based on like the way the Atlanta, they shoot everything out of Atlanta. And yeah. You know, I could see the lack of, they didn't like us, basically. I think the Chiefs liked us, but the cooks in the kitchen did not, and for no good reason, just because it was just sacred cow time down in Atlanta, and Atlanta is one of those cities where, you just got a kind of a lot of laydowns out there, man. You got like a lot of soft-spoken good boys that are fresh graduates and don't want to step on any toes that are just really excited to work on a project, and that was kind of like that made up the bulk of the staff of the people who were working on it. They told us they gave us $3 million. I'd like to see the accounting on the $3 million. Then during the time when we were shooting it, we had like unions smashing windows of our crew guys, and you know, kind of separated into like these ride or die guys that were with us that were pretty cool. Some of the producers, line producers and whatnot, Cam Bowling, he was cool the whole time. And Alex Orr, he was cool. But a couple of the guys were like, I don't want to be around this. I want to leave. And then the union was offering free union dues for a year for anybody who basically got off the project. So that was like,
was that like a coordinated thing with like journalists, left journalists and people, or how did that happen?
I don't know. It could be like a phone call. There was a girl that worked there that tried to break in. She was on drugs and she got fired for it, but she was one of the assistants to the Chiefs. I don't want to name drop, but basically just one of the main assistants that just didn't like our slant, got all blown out on drugs, and tried to break in with her pass in the middle of the night and stuck paper clips in the editing bay door, like a really harebrained scheme. And she was going to dump water all over the servers. Good idea. That would have worked. And I think she was kind of just like a dramatic, Che Guevara dramatic warrior trying to play her own melodrama where she was going to save the world one key bump at a time, in the back of her friend's probably Mercedes on the way there.
So you think it was like an activist motivated in terms of the subject matter that you guys lampooned, right?
Yeah, I think they didn't like what we were putting down. And, you know, we're like, look, that's not really how, you know, it's just satire, no sacred cows. That's just how comedy has to be right now. No one's saying right. This stuff. You have to do it. Got to be fair. Trust me. Like the world doesn't need another praise Hillary, praise, you know, whatever they were talking about at the time. You know, Atlanta 2016, 2017, you know, I might as well have been breakdancing with like a Cross Colors bucket hat on, you know.
Right.
It was a weird time where they expected everybody to just get knocked out and have their wallet stolen. So especially specifically in Atlanta. And I just don't think they liked it. I think they were just like, and anybody that could or would, you know, they were like, you're just not good guys. And, you know, you'd see people turn on you, and I didn't really care. It wasn't a lot of money, so I didn't really care. I mean, I made $95,000 to be on TV and work my buns off for a year. And, you know, to be fair, I'd have to fly to Atlanta all the time. It's just, I don't want to be like bitter and say that $95,000 is a lot of money, but when you're flying to Atlanta six times a year on your dime and staying in hotels and you know, it's just, it's like, ooh, whoopity-doo, cool. We got Nicki Minaj coming to the to your party that you threw. Like, I don't want the party. Just give me the money that you spent to get Nicki Minaj here.
Yeah, around that time, like, mainstream comedy around that time, like, you had the leak of Colbert's emails where he was talking about doing whatever the Democratic Party ordered him to do. And it was pretty much across the board. Like, anything that was on, you know, networks or even cable was 100% just Democratic Party line. And so, I mean, you guys were, I think, pretty fairly not even really political. It's just you guys, like you said, would lampoon anything. But that was just, again, too edgy. And so I think you guys were like an early test case, kind of like Alex Jones was an early test case for like mass censoring across a lot of spectrum. You guys got canceled, and then you had like your subreddit taken down. You guys had your original YouTube channel taken down too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We got everything pretty much just completely leg swept. Jeff Zucker from CNN was friends with one of the assistants, and I heard he had something to do with it. I heard it came from the way top internally. Because the president of the network was pretty cool with me personally, and he was pretty forthcoming. He's like, "Look, man, we're like a food truck in a mall, and I'm getting a note from the mall saying shut it down." And I'm like, "What am I gonna say? You know what I mean? Like, what am I gonna do?" So I found it was pretty rough for a little while. You know, craft beer was my best friend. You know, I didn't find a beer I didn't like for 6 or 7 months, along with some other personal problems. But it got better after time went on. But it was pretty rough. We got everything pretty much stripped out. I was like, well, I'm going to go back to the car business or antiques or whatever. You know, that's how it was going to happen. And pretty much everybody else, Chuck and Sam stayed pretty strong and was fighting it. I was just I was too angry to fight, because I don't think I thought anything that I would have said, it would have got worse and worse and worse. And I would have probably canceled myself even worse. Canceled.
Yeah, right. Now, what I think the best part of this story is that you guys kind of also paved the way in a lot of ways, like Alex did, with doing it your own way, right? So you guys kind of you retreated, you huddled, you planned, and then you have come back, right, with another season of the original show that was canceled, which you guys, I know you guys had planned to do this for a long time. So does it feel like kind of a vindication to come back from that?
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, it comes from support from fans. You know what I mean? Like, people want to see it. I think it's helped people like deal with, you know, when you're on the road, you meet a lot of people, right? You shake hands. We meet everybody after the shows. You know what I mean? Like, I want to meet the people who watch our stuff. It's simple. And you meet people who will tell you stuff. People will text you stuff. And this isn't some like whack spaz writing me a wall of text. It's like a real dude who was like, I was going through a rough time and I didn't know how to process what in the world I was thinking. And I've heard it a lot of different ways, but the sum of all things is, you know, you get these sort of heartfelt messages from people, girls, guys, and you don't want to be like, when a star or someone you like just lets you down and they'll do just anything. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, don't do that. God, please don't do what I think you're going to do. Don't go start starring on ABC sitcoms and, you know, and doing whatever LA would want you to do. So as painful as it is to hold cameras and shoot stuff out here and where I am, as opposed to big budget stuff. It feels great, but it must be done, as Vince McMahon used to say.
Well, hold that thought. This is the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back with Nick Rushmore of Million Dollar Stream and World Peace.
I'm asking viewers to just sit back for a moment and really think about the success InfoWars has had. And InfoWars isn't just me. It's not just the crew. It's not just our guest. It's all of you, the viewers and listeners, that give us intel, that spread the word, that support the broadcast. In the 30-year history of me being on air and 27 years of InfoWars, we have changed the world. And because we researched the globalist's own documents, we knew their game plan. I didn't learn all this stuff out of some Palantir crystal ball. I did it by reading the books and publications that these creatures put out, because they communicate with each other and are very honest about their diabolical plan for world government, depopulation, transhumanism, total robot control. And I believe in humanity. I bet on you, because I was betting on myself, and I know that it's always darkest right before the dawn. And so now in 2024, so close to this election, it is more critical than ever to not just keep InfoWars on the air, But to not take the reports and the videos and the articles and the interviews and to get those out to everybody you know. I understand that's really stating the obvious, but we have to understand how urgent the moment is and really redouble our efforts. And I'm saying that myself. I'm on the air 7 days a week. I'm doing a lot of interviews. I'm doing more special reports. We're going out in the field. We are busting our ass because the future destiny of humanity is really on the line right now. Now, a critical part of InfoWars continuing on and hopefully even expanding into the future is your support. And we make it so easy. We bring you the very best products that are out there that will empower and enrich your life at very competitive, affordable prices. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Read the 5-star reviews for the great InfoWars MD line and the other great supplements as well. They really are incredible. They're the very best that the supplement industry has to offer, and they really work. That's why people love them. The fastest growing industry in the United States, other than AI, is supplements year after year for 30 years because people are seeing the incredible effects. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are more than 15 products under the InfoWars MD line, and they're all amazing. But some of my favorites are the Nitric Boost that cleans out the blood, the cardiovascular system, and has a lot of great side effects that men will particularly notice. You need to check it out for yourself. You hear the callers talking about it all the time without me even prompting them. It is amazing. Then you've got Joint Relief Max. That is a natural pain reliever. Works really, really well in a healthy way. You have Turmeric 95. 95% curcuminoid. This is where we get the turmeric for Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. They're both excellent. InfoWars MD. We've got the full spectrum CBD gummies. 25 milligrams. Great anti-inflammatory. Isn't a downer. Isn't a depressant, but makes you very relaxed and focused. It's almost like a stimulant in a weird way, but it's different. And then, of course, we've got other great products for women and men. Ageless Vitality, just high-quality collagen. All of this funds our operation. And, of course, these are 25-milligram gummies. They work great. We have 1,000-milligram tincture that is made by one of the top manufacturers in the country who sells it at retail for twice the price we sell it, then they discount it. Even at the discount, we're selling it for about 50% less than the actual manufacturer does. There's not as much profit, but it's a great deal. 1,000 milligram CBD oil, InfoWars MD, that's the tincture. Then we've got all these other amazing products from InfoWars MD as well. They're excellent, and it funds the operation. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line. While you're at it, get a high-quality water filtration, get storable food, get books, get films, get T-shirts. All of it will enrich your life, inform your mind, and keep us on the air. That's critical right now. I humbly thank you for your support. Now please go to InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jason Analysis. Today, we're talking to Nick Rochefort of Million Dollar Extreme, Perfect Guy Life, Scuffed Realtor. He's got multiple podcasts. In fact, his podcasts have been blowing up all over YouTube. He recently had, both Shane Gillis and Tim Dillon on. They were talking about tell me about this Realtor podcast that you have before we get into the conspiracy topics. How did you come up with the idea? This is really unique. I've never seen anybody like live stream dissing houses for hours and making thousands of dollars. Kind of genius.
It's the thing you needed to do. No, my brother's a realtor. I bought a few houses. If I drink a little bit, I babble a little bit too much about moving to New England. It's the best place to relocate to in the world. And I don't know if you grew up in my house. Basically, what we do is we just constantly just sling MLS listings back and forth to each other daily. Lots of searches going on in my family, lots of conversations about it. It's pretty much all I talk about. It's my only hobby that I care about. Looking at real estate is free. Destroying it is funny and free. So my brother and I was like kind of tearing apart listing. My brother Jake Rochefort from Rhode Island. He's a tenured real estate agent, and it's kind of all we do, man. It's just like I'm just a hobbyist with this stuff. I like buying homes. It makes me feel it's cool. I failed in it. I don't have rich parents. I've messed up. I've done an okay job, and I'm not telling you to go buy multifamily, and I'm not telling anybody to do a Grant Cardone thing. What I'm trying to do is basically just watch after the same viewers that watch our stuff and just make sure they're not buying production homes that suck or homes that'll just never, you know, watch the value prop that they're being sold, you know, and watch what realtors, because realtors can be scum, and you got to watch your back and watch what the boomers are trying to feed you sometimes on when they're getting rid of the house that they've done literally nothing to. So there's a couple of ways to uncover that, which we do, which we usually get to the bottom of on Scuffed. And it's just trying to help people watch out and not buy any crap houses that will not go anywhere in value or sink, or just open their eyes to something that they might not have seen because, I don't know, their dad was too drunk to show up to the showing or something like that. So I'll be their remote dad, their proxy.
Internet daddy, that's nice. Speaking of, I don't know if you've ever heard of Lovejoy, but my mom, when I went to be on PGL with you guys, which is Perfect Guy Life podcast that Nick does with Sam and Charles, I was talking to my mom about you, and I was explaining, well, he does like this house stuff, and then he also sells antiques, and like my mom thinks about like in terms of 80s, like, oh, like Lovejoy? Are you familiar with Lovejoy?
No, I have no idea what that is.
You gotta look this up. So this is like Murder, She Wrote, but like the antiques dealer who solves the crimes. Anyway, I was explaining. Awesome. You're like a comedian version of Lovejoy. You could look up that reference. But a lot of the boomer in the audience will know this reference. But to get over then into more conspiratorial topics, when I was up there with you, we had some really good conversations. We were talking about everything from Hollywood to Diddy to even the Black nobility, which you seem to know quite a bit about that. But before we get to that, you had a brush with Hollywood. I guess we could say you were like Atlanta Hollywood, so to speak. You were kind of stepping into that world. Did you notice, like, wait a minute, this seems to be like totally controlled? I mean, I know they weren't inviting you necessarily to the Eyes Wide Shut parties. I don't, maybe they were, but did you start to get the impression that this domain is controlled?
Well, apparently you can't speak out of bounds. I wish it was more cut and dry where they were like, you are too fat for the party where you have to wear the masks. And I didn't get to, you know, not be at the party, not get the invite. But as far as I just think it's like things that are out of bounds or projects that are going to get there. I think it'll take an assistant or someone on the inside that'll just be like, hey, this is do you hear what these guys are saying over here? And it'll take X amount of minutes before X, Y, and Z gets either shut down if they weren't properly vetted. And then I'm sure it's like, how the hell did they even get through? How did they even get this far? You know, which I don't know. That was then. That was when TV was good. I think I was in the heyday of I lived in Los Angeles when I was shooting in Atlanta. And if you remember, TV was on fire. It was Breaking Bad, 2010 to 16. I mean, that was, things were rocking and rolling back then as far as quality content. Now it's trash. Right. There's nothing of note of any note. And I think Hollywood, even the pitch, the way you pitch and the way you sell projects now, good luck getting a dollar out of them. You know, that's the new way. I don't know how it goes, but back then, to be censored is ultimately to, you know, getting thrown off the air with ratings. Yeah, I mean it was proven, like I thought ratings were good. I thought you guys wanted eyes. I thought you wanted a million views. I thought you said if the ratings, because every basically there's like a chart on your whatever they call that, your ratings viewage, and if it goes down and then back up, that's like the perfect thing they want, that show, because every show just goes like, premiere is really good, and then after that it goes down, 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 down. And then at the end, that show's like, oh, the season finale is going to be crazy. Let's view it. That's usually like the guaranteed season two, you know, nail in the coffin. And we had that, you know, and the views were there. And I guess if you can do the right things, and it's still like, I mean, what is that? What does that mean? You know, if you like view, right, why wouldn't season two? And well, then people just not wanting to mess with.
Well, since you guys were canceled too, a lot of like mega revelations have come out, you know, in the last 8 years, 9 years. Like, we have, you know, Epstein material coming out. We have, you know, the mass censorship stuff with the tech platforms colluding with the government. When I was up there with you guys, we talked about, I mean, it even seems like Diddy seems to be like a mini black version of Epstein. It's like the same model of control seems to be everywhere. So, what's your take on this whole idea of New World Order in general? Like, do you think, have you always been conspiracy minded, or did you warm up to it, or are you, what's your take on all that?
The boule, is that what we're talking about? I think they call that. That's what the Black nobility is. The boule. Yeah. I mean, I'm so far in now where I don't believe anything. I'm denying. I don't think Epstein is a real person. I think I don't even think that's a real guy. Like, I don't think there's a guy named Jeffrey Epstein. The four houses that he has don't match up. Like, the one in Arizona is stunning. The one in New York's a dump. The one in Florida is a dump.
It's based on realty, right?
Like, no, the same guy wouldn't own these four properties. And if they were given to him, why did the four guys giving you houses for slaves that not have similar taste? Now I'm confused. But to tell me that a guy committed suicide, I mean, come on. Like, Diddy's out there with Nas on the beach. What's Nas doing with Diddy now, you know, post all this? I don't believe it. I just think we're getting taken for a ride, man. I think that someone's drinking blood somewhere. And I just think that it's all like, you know, I don't know the terminology. I'm just, you got to remember, Jay, I'm the mayonnaise brained construction worker end of MDE. So my verbiage is limited. My, me no talk good.
That's not true. You're a silver tongue Mercedes salesman who spits at a million miles a minute. So that's not true. But
explaining Jeffrey Epstein not being a real person. I think Diddy, like, where is he right now? He's in the Hamptons. Like, no one ever goes to jail. Nothing. Nothing ever, always. Like, we know the stories. Nickelodeon's been running. Nickelodeon's on right now. I can go put on Nickelodeon and watch some cartoons on Nickelodeon. Dan Schneider, all these names that have been dropping around. No one's getting arrested. I don't like getting taken for a ride. If we catch them, I'm going to get them. They'll do 100 years. They do no years.
Like, yeah.
I'm not going to sit here. I mean, it makes it sad. It makes me, you know, pisses me off, quite frankly. You know, Jeffrey Epstein, like, all the UK royalties probably, like, right, they fell for it.
You know? Yeah, there's two-tiered system of justice. The people at that tier never get in trouble, even though all this information comes out. It's totally verifiable. Do you think there's something, you know, we didn't really get into a lot of spirituality type stuff when we were up there talking. Do you think there's something maybe even demonic to this? Seems like they have to harm children, like they have to go after the youth. What do you think about that, like dark spiritual forces behind some of this stuff?
The more and more I sort of like get into it as I, you know, get into, you know, getting my God on as far as like, you know, life-changing, growing as a person, right, as a guy. And as I have kids and things like that, I'm getting more and more into it. Going to church and going to service and stuff like that. You start to see, like, you know, nihilistic behavior, you know, hedonistic nihilistic behavior is all a part of the same thing, right? Like, oh, I'm never having kids and kids are stupid. And, oh, why? So you can do drugs and, like, you can have sex and, you know, like, wow. You know what I mean? How many times can you trip and do Burning Man? You know, and it's sort of just empty behavior. That's sort of, yeah. And then the not having any problem whatsoever. Like when the abortion arguments go like full celebratory, and then they, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when the abortion arguments, when they start to sell, like, I loved having my abortion. When you hear someone say that, I don't really care. I'm not getting involved in political arguments like that. But when I watch someone start to do stuff like that, I'm like, you're unhinged, man. That's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a gun guy, but if I like guns, I wouldn't be like, I love my gun. Oh, I love my gun. I sleep with my gun. I would expect you to call me crazy. I would expect you to call me, you know what I mean? Like, it's no problem with me if you said that. But the more and more I see, like, the sort of the vapid behavior, the celebration of it, or like, you know, Team Satan right now with Lil Nas X, Sam Smith. Yeah. Team Satan's real cool right now. They're getting bad guidance.
All like rainbow stuff. That's the weird part too. Is like, it's edgy. We thought that the rappers were all like, you know, misogynist, badass dudes. But no, actually, they're all a bunch of compromised gay dudes, turns out. Like they're all just gay dudes. So it seems like a lot of things that we were sold, especially in the 90s, 2000s, it's all fake. It's fake and gay, basically, is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's not surprising that maybe entertainment, like you said, is also fake and gay, too. And that's why every show has to have, like, trans characters, gay characters. It's like everything is monoculture. Everything is streamlined into that form of, you know, culture control, I would say. Now, when we were up there chatting, Yeah, exactly. When we were up there chatting, you talked about some of the characters that you think maybe do have a lot of control. One of which you mentioned, like the Black Nobility, and this is kind of a classic conspiracy topic. What made you bring that up? How'd you get into that topic?
I think it's just through certain, just reading like old celebrity gossip websites would have certain things, and then watching behaviors in like I liked the NFL. I was a big NFL. I played college football. I liked it, and then I watched it just get essentially gayer and gayer, and I knew it was. I knew it was going down the tubes when we were looking at like, all right, rookie Deion Jones is walking off the bus. What's he wearing? And I'm like, why am I watching two women and talk about how nice of a suit this guy has on? Like we might as well watch him suck a lollipop on his knees. You know what I mean? Like this is it's football. It's football. Yeah. And then you watch all like these sus acts in the NBA and these, Dwayne Wade coming out with a nail polish line. And, you know, it's just like, dude, what are we doing here? You know, like, I don't get it. So that was.
Remember, they started that in the 90s, too. Remember who's the guy that married Madonna, the basketball player that would always wear dresses?
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, remember he ended up being like a State Department ish type of person. He would go and meet with Kim Jong Un. Like, there's some kind of weird, you know, MK Ultra thing going on with that. I mean, there's no way that's like accidental.
Oh yeah, no, it's probably the weird high schools they get to go to. Like, sweet, soft spoken Dennis Rodman gets corrupted highly, and ends up being nihilism 101, gambling, sex parties, infected. I genuinely feel bad. I don't think Dennis Rodman I think he's from like small town somewhere. And I've never seen it happen, commonly before. I don't really sell cars to guys that are like, yeah, I grew up in Tuskegee, Ohio, and now I'm here with red and yellow hair trying to buy a monster truck because I'm dating Carmen Electra and I have 90 piercings all over my, like, it's just none of it adds up. So it's all as strange as like a school shooter origins when that stuff happens.
Do you remember Marina Abramovich? Remember all her weird performance occult art that she was doing? And then now, a lot of people don't know this, she's actually on the U.S. State Department's website as one of the ambassadors for the State Department to Ukraine. So it's odd. Again, why would she be in that role if there wasn't something, deeper going on?
Yeah, cut your finger, 14, put your fish in your eye, spirit cooking, let's cook people, Will Ferrell, Lady Gaga, let's eat people, freaks. And art world is more than likely a money laundering scheme, you know what I mean? Painting, look at the art world. I would like to see the art world right now because I know like it's just not turning. But I would like to see the funniest example I could think of would be like an artist that, whatever, the patsy that had to smuggle this, buy a painting for, $8 million to buy some weapons for a foreign nation. And now they're like going off the piece and they're like, wow, tough market. And they're like, well, I paid $1 million for it. And like no one really, but yeah, Maria Abramovich, and she's a freak. She's probably what do they call that, Free Martin? Is that, we ever heard of that, Free Martin?
No, what's please, that
Charles Carroll is going to delve into this, but basically in utero with cows you can switch the genetics of switch genders, and Free Martin conspiracy. I've heard it's the worst of the worst things to talk about, so I'm sorry to drop that here. I've heard that's the one that's, I'm probably going to get shot tomorrow.
Right. Well, I mean, we've already kind of gone MK Ultra. We went full Rodman. Might as well just roll with it. I mean, now you have kids. Are you concerned in terms of a lot of the propaganda, like how they're focusing on kids and where that's going? Like, that seems to wake a lot of people up. They realize, hey, wait a minute, they're actually targeting kids. This is more than just like libertarian, let me have my pleasure centers go wild. This is actually like an agenda. Because they're going after kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you can run all the protection you can. You know what I mean? I have them in private schools. I interviewed well. I adore the management of the school that my kids are in. And they do a good job. You know what I mean? They kind of understand what's going on so well that I gave them my money. and for lack of a better term, I mean, I agree. It is. It's a war. You know what I mean? Like just like rainbow flagging and stuff like that. But I think parents see it. You know, talking parents one to one, watching. It's nice to watch the general pop soften up a little bit, or not harden up, I guess it would be. You know, and start to realize this stuff as a whole. To where maybe there was someone a couple of years ago, you know, at the women's rights rally that's now saying like, hey, I can't have this happen. My kid doesn't want like gender affirming surgery. So please stop pushing that on her now, or never mind the other problems that are coming along with, like, you know, not even be able to learn a damn thing because kids are, you know, whipping, you know, backpacks at each other, you know, or the other problems in schools. But I'm trying to cover it as much as I can through good education, and I'll pay whatever I have to for it. So it is what it is.
What about some of the other sort of famous conspiracies that are well known? Do you think the Federal Reserve is a scam? Fiat money is a scam?
Yeah, I mean, look at where we're playing right now. I think it's just a matter of I think everything's a scare tactic, man. It's every 4 years where like everybody's dying. I watch everybody around me get, oh, I'm scared. I'm changing things. I'm getting passports. I'm getting healthy. Have you seen the seed oils? There's a new enemy in town. And I guess in so many ways, like I've been in such a long relationship with conspiracies, you know, since 9/11, since Zeitgeist, Loose Change, all the good documentaries that got us in 07 and 08. I think I've had such a long that I'm like OG Hell's Angel baked with this stuff. So I'm like, who's the new enemy this year? You know, and now it's seed oils, you know, but like, look at, Haiti, Laura Silsby selling body, you know, the people getting caught selling parts, you know, selling organs and whatnot. I don't know, man. It's just like, where do you even start to fight? You know, and then you go to, where are we going? You know, what's the contingency plan? Bunkers, other countries, Portugal, Poland, you know, Prince Edward Island, other countries with a P, Paraguay.
Papua New Guinea. I'm trying to think of one.
I couldn't. I'm generally nervous, but
Well, so I didn't realize you were that. You're like throwing out the old school reference, like Zeitgeist. I forgot about Zeitgeist you're talking about. But I mean, know about Loose Change because Burmese is a good buddy of mine. But so you were awake to the Big Nine event that long ago?
Oh yeah, no, that one put me on the couch. I think that's what got me into comedic writing was the probably the Zeitgeist doc. I was like, I think that's like when I just fell into like a depression. I my company wasn't doing well. I was foreclosing on a house I bought, and I was just like, oh man, what the hell? I thought I was doing good, but I probably just had it coming after living a wild 19, 20 year old life. And then I probably had
Did you say Loose Change got you into comedic writing?
Yes.
like the most devastating documentary of the history of America. That's what got me into comedy.
Now that's now that's worth a chuckle. No, it was just like, you know, when you sort of like, well, if this is the world, it was sort of like, I'll either blow my head off or I'll write comedy. So, and then, that's kind of like the deal I made with myself. And I was like, I'll stop wanting to blow my head off. The second I stop doing whatever I want to do, I'll blow my head off. And it's been 15 years. So here I am.
No, there's something to that. I think people that realize how crazy everything really is, like you have to have this kind of like dark humor attitude about it or you would go crazy, right?
Of course. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Look this stuff in the, like if you knew that people were carving faces off during rituals, you'd drive to, you know what I mean? You know, I don't even want to say the words that you do, but you know what you would do. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to have this sort of like, you have to have that flywheel, you know, this buffer zone for things to like land and then for you to like analyze them without going off the rails, you know, with drinking or drugs or depression or just being like kook at the bar screaming like, you know, there's poisons in rum, you know, whatever people scream. I could scream Pearl Jam lyrics into my elbow.
The fluoride in the rum. The fluoride in the rum.
Yeah. It's in the Parrot Bay's loaded with carcinogens.
All right. I mean, so I saw you guys live in Tampa. It was a great show you guys put on. I mean, one thing I've never seen, I've been to a lot of stand-up shows, is like you guys had multiple shows in the same location and everyone was like lined down the road. I've never seen a line of people. I think you guys were recently in North Carolina, right? It was a line like a mile down the road. It was wild. So are you guys touring right now, or is that tour done?
No, we're touring. We're just going out. We're putting out dates every month. We're going to Maine. We just announced Maine. We're doing a couple of small venues that we'll go rock up in Maine and then Connecticut, and we're going to Ohio. We're going to hit the whole world and just keep going. We're having fun doing it. It's a good show. We're really happy.
You and Dennis Rodman are going to head over to North Korea.
Yeah, we're going to go to North Korea. We're going to talk about the Chicago Bulls. I'm supposed to believe that a foreign leader just loves the Chicago Bulls. There's another one.
Yeah, and the guys that wear dresses in the NBA, that's like his favorite, right? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Dennis Rodman wants to stop playing poker on the World Poker Tour and go to North Korea and hang out with look at some cardboard tanks.
That's funny, 'cause I did a video about like cardboard tanks and fake nukes in North Korea several years ago. You said that, but so where can people find the tour dates? What's the best place to look and see where you guys are posting that?
Sam Hyde Live. SamHydeLive.com is where the tour dates are. Our Instagram is pretty popping, where we feed, we try to put on a good show that's very atypical, and stand up isn't for everybody, but we want to make sure that no one feels like they're getting gypped out of a show. So we're trying to be as entertaining as possible.
And you guys have Nick and Sam's Perfect Guy, Perfect Clips, Perfect Guy Life, and then Scuffed Realtor is at the Perfect Clips site, right?
Yes. Sam and Nick's Perfect Clips on YouTube. And then mine's Chamonix, Chamonix, ChamonixHouse.com, where I sell antiques with my wife out of the woods.
I noticed that you've got a lot of rugs, and then you've got like old Soviet propaganda vegetables. And like, what is that all about?
It's anti-alcohol posters and anti-smoking and vegetable informationals. Informational posters are really like conversation provoking, which is usually a good thing for interior design. As all the interior design freaks on this channel know, you just need informationals because it's conversation starting. And I think ceramic text is cool looking.
My wife was interested in it, and my mom thinks you're Lovejoy. So you'll have to look up Lovejoy, he's basically like the Murder She Wrote, but he does it with antiques. So guys, if you would, be sure and follow Nick Rushford. You can follow him over on Instagram. You can follow him. He's Thug Thief on Twitter. You can find him on the YouTube channel that we listed. I'm Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. You can get my books in the shop at jaysanalysis.com, and also support Alex by going for the InfoWars store and getting those excellent products.
But water filtration, firearms, food, that's all great. But if you don't have communications, I would say communications is just as important as water filtration or self-defense. And you know, your wife works across town or maybe another city, your husband does. In the world we're going into, you got to get these things. They're easy to use, but you got to start using them so you're proficient. Or, you know, your kids are in college, or, you know, you've got a teenager in school. Imagine, you know, terrorist hit, they're blowing things up, the grid goes down. You could just be 20 miles away, and it could take you a week. You might have to walk home, folks, and you've got to have rally points. You've got to get ready. And I'm preaching to myself right now because I'm now getting with my family doing this.
And if all your systems were to go down, you should still have a place that's going to be a check-in or check-in board and a meeting location that your family knows exactly how and where they're going to go.
Oh, exactly. I'm admitting I've not done – I've done 1% of what I should, and that's more than most of the public. Now is the time with 74 days out. And here's the bottom line. Everything is in stock right now, and that's not usually the case. They have really massively bought to have this. And as soon as the general public starts figuring out about this, and there's already giant demand with governments and private corporations, this stuff is going to go quick. You want to go to InfoWarsPhone.com. You want to check these products out, and you want to get ready. And like you said, the phone's worthless if you don't have the solar panel system. And it's all very affordable, the best deals you're going to get at InfoWarsPhone.com.
Listen, Ukraine, when Ukraine popped off, the phones were backed up for almost 9 months. Why? Because Ukraine, the military, all those guys came in and just picked them all off the shelf. So there was almost a 9-month delay or back order on it. I'm not here to sell it. It's just that when those things go off, what happens? Can't get ammo. Ammo goes through the roof, right? You remember those shortages? Toilet paper, right? But as soon as this thing pops off and your communication's down, you're not going to get a sat phone. It's at that time, it's game over. It's Gabe Old for a secure phone if you're trying to keep people from tracking you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.